اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير هو الذي خلقكم فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن والله بما تعملون بصير خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق وصوركم فأحسن صوركم وإليه المصير يعلم ما في السماوات والأرض ويعلم ما تسرون وما تعلنون والله عليم بذات الصدور ألم يأتكم نبأ الذين كفروا من قبل فذاقوا وبال أمرهم ولهم عذاب أليم ذلك بأنه كانت تأتيهم رسلهم بالبينات فقالوا أبشر يهدوننا فكفروا وتولوا واستغنى الله والله غني حميد زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا قل بلى وربي لتبعثن ثم لتنبؤن بما عملتم وذلك على الله يسير فآمنوا بالله ورسوله والنور الذي أنزلنا والله بما تعملون خبير يوم يجمعكم ليوم الجمع ذلك يوم التغابن ومن يؤمن بالله ويعمل صالحا يكفر عنه سيئاته ويدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب النار خالدين فيها وبئس المصير ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله ومن والله بكل شيء عليم. وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول، فإن توليتم فإنما على رسولنا البلاغ المبين. الله لا إله إلا هو، وعلى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم، وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم. إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم. فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم واسمعوا وأطيعوا وأنفقوا خيرا لأنفسكم، ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. إن تقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا يضاعفه لكم ويغفر لكم، والله شكور حليم. عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this chapter of At-Taghabun, has messages for us that we need to look at. Before that, though, I would like to remind myself and all the brothers and sisters how unfortunate I am, and whoever's like me is as well, that I'm not familiar enough with the verses of the Qur'an, with the chapters of the Qur'an. And it's as though I'm reading a new book. It's as though I've never come across this chapter. And there's so much that is still hidden, and that is only due to my lack of obedience to Allah in listening to the call. It's interesting, let me just read that verse 8 of this chapter. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. Thus, believe in God and His Messenger and the light that we have revealed, we have sent down. The Quran is referred to as Nur. We are in darkness. Our light, our lantern, our beacon, what sheds light for us is the Qur'an. Unfortunately, we don't see the Qur'an. As the verse said, and this is why I said it's interesting, it says, believe in it. We are being addressed by it as well. Believe in it. Believe that the Qur'an is Nur. Believe that you're in darkness. We are in the dark. We need that nur to shed light on our path, to learn what our path is, to know what our path is. It doesn't come from another source. It's the Qur'an. Unfortunately, we still have much of the jewels of the Qur'an, the light of the Qur'an, that we have not tapped into, and therefore it's there, but we remain in the dark because we don't look at that light, we don't use that light to provide us guidance. So the chapter has very interesting things. One of the things that I should say is that this is one of the chapters that starts with tasbih. There are a number of chapters that start with tasbih. The largest, the longest one is Surah Al-Isra. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. That is the longest chapter that starts with tasbih. All the other chapters are shorter, and they're generally of the shorter chapters of the Quran. The only very long one is Surah Al-Isra. There's something about these chapters, the beginning of which is tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Surah Al-Hashr, Surah Jumu'ah, this Surah, Surah Al-Hadid, I believe, Surah Al-A'la, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. There's a number of these chapters that start with tasbih. some of the urafa, based on, I guess, what they have read, I don't recall a particular hadith being cited on this, but it's hard for me to imagine the particular urafa I'm thinking of, like Sayyid Ali Qadi Tabatabai, who was a mutasharri' arif. He was not one of those that would, God forbid, make up stuff. He just went by what the book says, what the Qur'an says, what, according to the Qur'an and according to the Prophet, what the Ahlul Bayt have said. He would go by that. He didn't invent another way, or there is no other way, but some people invent something they call another path, or they add things to it. They weren't that type. So they would, it is said that Sayyid Ali Qadi Tabatabai every night before going to bed used to read all of the chapters that start with Tasbih. Now that takes a pretty long time. Of course, for someone like him that has repeatedly read them and knows them by heart and repeats them from heart, because he's going through the chapters, the words, the sentences that he's very familiar with, probably reading them a lot faster than we generally would, in a way that would probably not take half as much as what we would usually spend time to read these chapters. But still, it's a pretty good amount of Qur'an being recited every night before it. But these specifically, there's something about them apparently that has effects that he would do that. Again, probably, most probably based on some hadith that he knew of and I'm not aware of. So besides the beginning of the chapter, which is tasbih, and we've discussed tasbih a number of times, we need to constantly think of that. The Qur'an commands us. We read Surah An-Nasr. It says, when you see God's victory coming, fasabbih, we need to do tasbih. So it's important that we learn the meaning of tasbih, the depth of the meaning. And basically what it means is to deny everything and the existence of anything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the only thing that is God and whatever He wants. Nothing is except for what His will is. Again, it's Him and what He wants that is, and therefore it's wajhullah. That's tasbih that we need to constantly remind ourselves. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why it was repeated every night before bed, to get that into one's psyche, into one's heart, by repeating. That's how we get things into our heart, by repeating and acknowledging that reality, reminding ourselves of that reality, of that fact. It starts penetrating our minds and hearts more. But I want to move on to verse number 11 of the chapter. Obviously, we're being selective. The entire chapter is a pretty long chapter, although it only has 18 verses, but these are not like some of the chapters at the end of the Qur'an where the verses are only a few words. And it's longer verses, and therefore it's two pages in the prints that are generally available to us. Anyhow, so we're going to be selective in the verses. Verse 11 says something very important that, again, we need reminders of. Ma asaba min musibatin, or ma asaba, I should read it in this way, because it's nafya, it's negative, it's negating something. Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi'idhnillah. There is not a musiba, a calamity, a difficulty, a hardship, anything bad that you would identify as bad, something that is called a musibah. Remember, loss of life, loved ones, belongings, all the things that we hate most. That's called musibah. Okay. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That obviously everybody knows that it's been said that that was revealed at a time when Amir al-Mu'mineen lost a loved one, and he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." And also the verse before that, prior to that, "Wabashir al-sabirin, al-ladina idha asabat hum musibah." It's talking about ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Okay, so any of those hardships that we're always dealing with, we're losing different things, right? Sometimes deliberately, meaning we take measures that we know it's going to lead to loss. We're sacrificing for Allah. We're taking measures because God said, knowing that we will lose. If we take this measure, they will come and take this away from us. They will take our job away from us. They'll take this other thing away from us, security away from us, our freedom away from us, like Imam Al-Kadhim, and incarcerate us. And sometimes, without doing anything, it just happens. You have an accident. COVID hits. Different things happen, and we lose things. These are all called musibah. This verse says, "Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi'idhnillah." It does not happen unless it's with God's permission. God allowed it in a sense. And as Surah Baqarah, the verse that is known as Ayatul Kursi, "Man dhalladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnih." Any form of shafa'ah, any type of intercession, anything that happens that you don't see God directly, you see something else, including ma asaba min musibah. It's bi'idhnillah. It means it's God's will. Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardh. In fact, the tasbih that this chapter starts with means that there is nothing and no ability, nothing can do anything except bi'idhnillah. And bi'idhnillah doesn't mean that God isn't involved with it. God doesn't do it. God is just an observer. And if he wants, he can stop it. Otherwise, he can't. That's not idhn. That's not bi'idhnillah. Bi'idhnillah is with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God wanted you to lose this. He wanted you to lose that. That's what this verse starts with. And then after stating this fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. And whoever believes in Allah, he will guide their heart. Very simple sentence, very clear cut. No way around the meaning, no hidden meaning. Meaning nothing that is ambiguous about this, that requires anything else to explain this. مَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Whoever believes in Allah, God will guide their heart. And lastly, Allahu bikulli shay'in alim. Allah is towards everything knowing. He knows everything. Bikulli shay'. Everything. What is this sequence? Why this particular sequence? First, it talks about musibah. Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi'idhnillah. Then, wa man yu'min billah yahdi qalba. And lastly, wallahu bikulli shay'in alim. The last part, can the connection with the middle phrase or segment of the verse, the connection between those two is easier to understand. Whoever believes in Allah, God will guide their hearts. Now, if you want to guide someone, you need to know things. Well, God knows everything. Everything. So He's the one that can provide guidance. No one else knows everything. Everyone else is jahil, unless God gives them, like the Prophet, like the Ahlul Bayt, And whoever else, as he said, مَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبًا. When he gives that guidance to the heart of the believer, then that believer will know. But on their own, no. Allah will guide them. Allah, Surah Al-Dhuha, which we read, says, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. This doesn't mean that at a time the Prophet, God forbid for me saying this, this isn't intended, some people have misunderstood it, saying that it means that there was a time that the Prophet was not guided. God found him misguided, lost, or using the wording of the verse, and did he not find you lost and he guided you? And so they understand it in this way, wrongly. This is a wrong understanding. That at age 40, perhaps, or a little before that, whenever there's a time that the Prophet is found to be lost, he's not guided. What does that mean? He's misguided. He's lost. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't know. He hasn't been provided with guidance. He's lost. Then guidance came. This is a very, very wrong understanding. And it's because the verses of the Quran have not been thought over and reflected upon thoroughly enough. Firstly, that is not the only thing that this could mean. And secondly, besides the verses of the Quran that can be provided, if the Prophet was just like everybody else is lost, he's lost as well. So what was the point of choosing this particular person out of all the lost people of the world? Just eeny, meeny, miny, mo, just, oh, it doesn't matter, just somebody. Well, if it's just somebody, why didn't he take Abu Sufyan? Why wasn't Abu Sufyan? No. What the Prophet has said, what the Quran tells us about who the Prophet was as a person. No. And then that verse, that's not the only way of interpreting it. If it was the only way of understanding it, then we would have to accept it in that way or think, oh, is that even the Quran? Is it not? Should we even believe in the Quran? Because it wouldn't make sense. Would have those other problems. But no, that's وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا. He found you in and of himself, the Prophet in and of himself. Right here, the Quran regarding a mu'min. Is a mu'min guided? No, يَهْدِ قَلْبَ. God guides him. Now, when God guides him, is that guidance the mu'min's guidance or is it God's guidance? Is that mu'min in and of, after the guidance is given? When, even the Prophet, when the Prophet is guided, at a time, at any point in time that you see him to be guided, right? So those who have that wrong understanding, let's say when the Prophet became a prophet at age 40, now is he guided or not? They must say, well, of course, yeah, fahada. Okay. So when that hada happens, when God guides, again, the Prophet in and of himself, does he know on his own or is it God giving him guidance? It's God giving him guidance. And at that very point that he is guided, he's guided by Allah, not himself. Therefore, he in and of himself is the dhal. Everyone is like that. Everyone in and of themselves, they're dhalim. Allah's God. This is from the Quran. Prophet Yusuf said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَرَحِمَ رَبِّي. This nafs will guide, will push towards, will command to evil, to wrong, أَمَّارَ بِالسُّوءِ, bad things. إِلَّا مَرَحِمَ رَبِّي. So when it commands me to do good things, that's مَرَحِمَ رَبِّي. That Prophet of God, Yusuf, is he guided or not? He is. He says, مَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. This nafs, no, it goes in and of myself, I'll be going the other way. It's God's mercy, God's guidance. So this is called looking at, they call it تَقَدُّم رُتْبِي or تَقَدُّم تَأَخُر رُتْبِي. The difference between that moment where it says وَجَدَكَ ضَال, being misled, and being guided, the تَقَدُّم تَأَخُر, the precedence, something happening prior to the other, it's one state, then the other, that is not separated by time. And therefore, it isn't such that at a time he was dhal, at another time he was guided. It's rutbi. It's in the rank, if that's the right equivalent. Another way of putting it is, it's looking at it from a hierarchical perspective. In terms of he himself, no, not time-wise, that before and after. No, he himself, there's no guidance. God providing guidance at that level, then when God's guidance comes, not time-wise, it's called rutbi. Anyhow, the point we were mentioning, I had to explain that because sometimes there's confusions that come about and we need to explain every now and then. That verse is with regards to the Prophet. وَوَجَدَكَ ظَلًّا فَهَذَا. Guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. We need that guidance. If you believe, if you accept that guidance from Allah, Allah will provide you guidance. Where? يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. In your heart, you will be guided. This doesn't say God will give you the Quran. The Quran is already there. But does your Quran, does your heart receive the light of the Quran? مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. Believe in him, then your heart will be guided. God will guide it perhaps through the Quran at times directly. You read the verses of the Quran and you get that. Sometimes it's a word of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Superficially, otherwise there's different things in the unseen and the ghaib of this world that we don't want to get into for now. مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. Your heart will be guided. You'll see the right path. You'll choose the right path because it's clear. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. We said the connection between those two segments of the verse are relatively more clear, because one has to do with God providing guidance, and then it says God knows everything. Well, the one who knows everything can provide guidance. No one else knows everything. Anyone else that knows anything, it's God given to them. That's why we mentioned that verse in Surah Al-Dhuha, وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. But the connection between those two and the first, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, then saying, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Facts independently are each understandable. There isn't any musibah that comes your way except that it's God's will. God wanted this to happen to you. And the other fact that مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ, whoever believes in Allah, God will guide their heart, and that he knows everything. So, though two independent facts, we understand what's the connection that they have been mentioned one after the other in the same verse. Are they independent, or is there a connection? Maybe, I'm not suggesting this is, one of the obligations we have is to think of the verses of the Quran and think of possible meanings, seeing fact. The fact is God has mentioned these one after the other, and that tells us there's got to be a connection. The first step is in the form of maybe, one thought that comes to mind, and then evaluate, and is it right, is it wrong? Maybe the connection could be when a musibah comes a person's way, and that's a difficult test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's use the verses of Surah Baqarah that we mentioned earlier. It said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. It says, we will test you through loss of life, loss of loved ones, loss of belongings, possessions, loved ones, life, offspring. And it says, وَبَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good tidings to those who are patient. So it requires patience. Loss, these losses are difficult. بَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good tidings to the صَابِرِينَ. If they're بَلَى لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, بَلَى sometimes means calamity, and we understand it in the form of hardship. But the other word in that context, especially, the other understanding is test. So we will test you. That's why we translate it in that way. It's a test. That hardship is a test. In the context of that difficulty, which is a test, so it's a difficult test, you want to come out of that test the right way, do the right thing. Now that verse, it says, وَبَشِّرُ الصَّابِرِينَ, those who are patient in the face of those calamities, they are going to be doing well in those tests, and so that's why they're given good tidings. And then they're described as, the patient ones are described as those that when they receive that hardship, that difficulty, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, we belong to Allah, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and verily we are returning to Him. Here it says all musibah is from Allah. It comes with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. States that, now that musibah is a test, as the other verse mentioned. In the context of this musibah, in this difficult test, I want to do the right thing. What is the right thing? How can I identify what the right thing is? This verse says this, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. You want to know what to do? Have iman. Be true to that iman, to that faith in Allah. If you really, at that point, when that musibah comes your way, if you have iman billah, then yahdi qalbah. Allah will guide you to do the right thing. Allah will guide you to do the right thing. This isn't about, like, I don't know, saving a musibah. So, oh, it's God guiding the heart of a believer so he doesn't go through loss, or he gains it back, or he finds out who stole it. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with hidayah of towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what hidayah is. That's what guidance is. Not guidance towards, I don't know, some stolen goods, figuring out where they came from, or where they were taken, how I can get them back, and so on and so forth. No. When a musibah hits, مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ, if you're a mu'min at that point, if you have iman, then God will guide your heart. If it's not the case, if we don't have iman, then it doesn't say that guidance is going to come. It doesn't say that there isn't going to be guidance either, but it doesn't say there's a guarantee that there will be guidance. Iman, iman billah. Now you may ask that, okay, you know, well, we're talking about believers, so they're a mu'min. We weren't talking about someone that loses faith when that musibah comes. Well, sometimes that does happen. That's one thing. Secondly, what level of iman is there? Let me first explain the first point that was mentioned. Sometimes iman is lost. The things that we have done prior to that musibah are such that when that musibah, when that hardship, when that I have an accident, sometimes it's as simple as that. I have an accident. I had a lot at stake in this house, in this car, in this whatever it is, in my body. Sometimes people, like on motorcycles, they have an accident and then they lose a limb, or they get paralyzed in a limb, in their bodies, in our bodies sometimes. Sometimes in our possessions, in our cars, in our homes, and our phones, and whatever it is, something that's of value, and some things have a greater value compared to the other. When that comes our way, our behavior prior to that is such that when that happens, then we forget about everything. We forget about everything. And therefore, we don't have iman. Now, going to the second point here, I don't mean necessarily that we lose faith entirely. But all the good things that we spoke about, like for example, right now I'm talking to you about this. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Tomorrow I have an accident. The same person that was saying, oh, look at the Quran and speaking of this verse, the same person, as soon as he forgets about it, gets upset, why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? Like in terms of like just thinking, if I would have done this, then this wouldn't have happened. I should have done that. And then I start thinking, I do maybe think of God, but then I'm like, why did God not prevent this from happening? I was a good person. Why the heck did this happen to me? I had worked so hard for this. I barely used this card, this, that, the other. It's not perhaps abandoning faith altogether, but all this good stuff that was spoken of, I thought it was from Allah. If it's from Allah, then why are you feeling this way? Why are you? So we lose that iman. And therefore, if we lose that iman, we look at this right now, we think that, oh, we believe in this. But at that point when it happens, that iman is... And so the hidayah doesn't... The second point that will complete that idea... Again, we're not talking about people that lose faith entirely or don't have faith entirely. Faith is gradational. Iman is gradational. There's different levels. The behavior at the level of one's physical body, what they say, what we say, what we do with our hands, with our arms, with our feet, what we do in our minds, what we do in our hearts, there's different levels. There's an outright haram. For example, we said if I have an accident, right? If I start questioning things in my head, why did this happen? I get angry. I feel I feel hopeless. I feel like I lost everything. I feel all these different feelings, and I think about things, and I feel like, oh my God, why did this happen? Why did that happen? I didn't say anything to anyone. I didn't do anything. The outright haram of Allah has to do with things that we say and do. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. Well, if I didn't say anything, I didn't do anything, then haram wasn't done. Well, that's one level of iman, because a lower level is this. A person could go out and start doing injustice to people. This happens. An accident happens. One party tries to blame the accident on the other party, and making a scene and lying about what happened to blame it on the other party. Well, that's another measure that can be taken. A believer that didn't do that on that level, okay, they accomplished. There's a certain level of hidayah that came their way. And that is, they didn't commit sin. They didn't do haram. However, is that the furthest we want to reach? Is it the furthest that we want to reach? At whatever level of iman we accept in Allah, we believe in, then a guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to us in the context of masa'ib, in the context of calamities, difficulties, hardships, that is proportionate to that level of faith that we're in. And the more iman we have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the level of guidance that comes in that particular context is going to be more. And so you see the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, that highest level of iman to Allah in the harshest of conditions and difficulties, the guidance that came to them from Allah was at a level that we can't even fathom. Because our iman is not even close to that. To fathom what that guidance is, much less to receive it and to do what they were told to do. Let me mention one other verse. I apologize if this has taken a bit longer, but I think it will help if we... Yes, verse 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ. Whoever believes in Allah and does righteous deeds, good deeds that God has said are good, يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ, Allah will cover their bad things, their badness, the bad qualities, the bad behavior, the bad thoughts, the bad beliefs. He will cover that. How is this relevant to that idea? This tells us that a mu'min, while they are mu'min, they have sayyi'at, there are bad things in us. God removes them with iman in al-amal as-salih, righteous deeds. And when we do this, so we have iman, we do righteous deeds, Allah will remove sayyi'at. Now all sayyi'at? No, it's proportionate to the iman and amal as-salih. And so this tells us that it's a lifelong journey. We need to constantly and continuously be on that path. If we stall, if we pause, if we discontinue, then this will discontinue. But if we continue, if we have iman and amal salih, if I have one level of iman and amal salih, the sayyi'at proportionate to that will be removed, will be covered. And that will lead to a higher level of iman. On that higher level of iman, do amal salih, what happens? One will grow. And so back to what was mentioned in the context of masa'ib, مَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ, that hidayah that comes to the person in the context of these calamities is proportionate to their iman. Are we stagnant? Well, it depends. If we go by what one of the previous verses, verse 9 says, we have iman, we have amal salih, we keep doing the righteous deeds that God guides us towards, our iman starts to elevate. And so the next calamity that comes, if we do this, if we continue with iman, with faith, believing in Allah, and righteous deeds, al-a'mal as-salihah, righteous deeds, if we continue that, this calamity, maybe I didn't receive the higher level of guidance, I receive lower level guidance, because my iman is lower. If I continue iman and amal salih, that will increase my faith, will elevate my iman, and therefore the guidance I'll receive next time will be higher, and next time will be higher, and next time will be higher. This will continue as long as that recipe is there, that formula, iman, amal salih. Whenever you identify amal salih, a righteous deed, do it. We have iman, inshallah. Do righteous deeds, the iman will increase. We preserve that iman, we add it to that iman through amal salih. Then again, another amal salih, another amal salih. It's a lifelong journey. We keep ascending through that formula. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us and helps us reach higher levels, levels of the companions of the Imam of our time that have been described in ways that are difficult to fathom. We need to know that in the time that we're in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is selecting people and elevating them and creating that army of the Imam of our time, processes that he's mentioned in the Holy Quran, these masa'ib, different musibat that are coming our way, which are tests, everything that happens to us, if we go by that formula that has been given to us, inshallah, we can gradually hope to become one of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Ahlul Bayt, has mentioned, the people, the companions of the Imam of our time will be. We ask Allah to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be of His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and most of our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us, all believers worldwide, our hajat, our needs, our requests. Ya Allah, relieve us of this pandemic. Ya Allah, relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.